Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and here comes the latest plastic reduction environmental initiative to New York politics, a ban on plastic straws, and maybe on all disposable straws, now being discussed in city council. Scientists estimate that more than 8 million metric tons of plastic waste wash out to sea every year. Some of this plastic breaks down into microplastics that kill marine life and potentially end up in seafood to boot. What doesn't break down goes on to form what they call the Pacific Trash Vortex, a garbage island that floats off the coast of California. It's twice the size of France. To solve this problem, activists, lawmakers, and some corporations are banding together to eliminate some single-use plastic items. You know about plastic bags. Now it's straws, which are too small to be properly recycled. By one often cited estimate, Americans use 500 million straws per day. So joining me now to discuss some of the national and global efforts and the new local one to reduce plastic straws and what some critics of the movement are saying, because there are some, is Henry Grabar, staff writer for Slate's Money Box. Hi, Henry. Thanks for coming on WNYC today.
Hi, Brian. Nice to be here.
And the movement against single-use plastics has focused on plastic bags primarily up until now. Why plastic straws?
Well, I think plastic straws have become a very visible symbol in part thanks to this viral video that featured a turtle with a straw stuck in its nose. And that has sort of helped galvanize people against using plastic straws. So there are a number of nonprofit groups that are kind of leading the charge to get businesses to drop plastic straws, get cities to take a different approach towards plastic straws and other utensils. But I think that, you know, even more so perhaps than with plastic bags, it might be possible for consumers to imagine going to a McDonald's, going to a Starbucks, and coming away without using a straw. And so I think it's a question of, can people reimagine the way they might approach their daily life without a convenience that they've taken for granted? And in the case of straws, I think a number of people are saying, yeah, I can imagine that.
And listeners, here in New York City, as you may know, a bill was introduced in city council that would outlaw plastic straws at restaurants across the boroughs. We'll get into the question of paper straws as a replacement in a minute. But New Yorkers, we want to hear from you. What do you think about the idea of a plastic straw ban? And included, we definitely want to hear from people with disabilities, because I know this is an issue. Some people use straws as a matter of compensating for certain physical disabilities. Maybe you want to call in and say whether or not or how to respect your situation. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or tweet at Brian Lehrer. Some major corporations have gotten on board with the straw ban, I'll say. American Airlines and Royal Caribbean Cruises are among a few. Most notably, earlier this month, Starbucks announced it will eliminate plastic straws by 2020. And that's a big deal for a company whose plastic green straws are ubiquitous and, in a way, one of the physical symbols of the company. So, Henry, what's Starbucks proposing to do?
So Starbucks has said that by 2020, they will have eliminated plastic straws from more than 28,000 stores. And that's a pretty ambitious goal. The company says that it goes through more than a billion plastic straws every year. They say that they will have alternatives on hand for Frappuccinos, and they will have alternatives on hand for customers with disabilities who need a straw. Project that, as I said, this is going to take more than a billion straws out of the sort of waste stream. And one of the big issues with plastic straws is that they tend to blow around. They are, I think it's possible to recycle them, but it's extremely expensive and really not worthwhile for the amount of plastic that's contained within a straw. So most of these end up either in landfills, or in a good number of them end up in the ocean, where they tend to deteriorate into plastic shards and pose a hazard to marine life, like the Oliver Ridley sea turtle that we mentioned earlier. And one of the big risks with these straws is that they float around in the ocean and they become subject to the currents that are also the way that food travels around in the ocean for some of these larger marine animals, like, say, turtles or larger fish. These, you know, for example, turtles will tend to drift towards places where there are eddying currents, thinking that this will bring together, you know, the typical prey that they've been hunting for thousands of years. Now these eddies are bringing together, in addition to prey, a lot of plastic garbage. And so that's where these items really end up posing a hazard to marine life.
Isn't it crazy that something could be a systemic problem forever and ever, and it takes one kind of heartstring-tugging incident like this turtle with the straw stuck up it that changes the whole national conversation?
Yeah, I think that this is this. I don't think this is actually so unusual in the sense that it often takes a galvanizing moment or particular phenomenon to change the way people feel about these environmental issues. I think we've seen a number of turning points like this. When you look at past issues like, say, acid rain or plastic six-pack rings, which were considered a major issue in the 1970s. And so with the non-degradable six-pack rings that, you know, your six-pack of Budweiser would have come with, it basically started off as a social movement where people would cut them up with scissors before throwing them away because they had seen pictures of you know, seals, say, with their heads mm-hmm. stuck in these six-pack rings. And basically that social movement trickled up into Vermont banning non-degradable six-pack rings. And finally, in 1988, Ronald Reagan signed a bill requiring that they be manufactured to degrade in sunlight. So to me, this idea that real political change regulations can begin with something like this, a social movement where people get upset about seeing a video of a turtle, that's probably the best way to go about this. When you compare it to something like Michael Bloomberg's soda ban, which I would say was not really something that the public was clamoring for, mm-hmm. And I think that ultimately was reflected in the fact that it proved to be unsuccessful. So I think that that's it's not an atypical path for environmental activism to take.
Absolutely. So it's the turtle that broke the straw's back. But the disability rights advocates, many have, brought this up to argue that the public cares more about turtles than for people with disabilities. Can you describe that conflict?
Yeah, I think one of the issues that they've brought up is that plastic straws make it possible for them to not have to think twice about whether they will be welcome in a particular restaurant in the same way that, say, if you're in a wheelchair, you might need to know in advance, is this restaurant ADA accessible? And that's something that just has to get factored in the way you think about how you're going to be able to go about your life. And to them, I think that they see this as, you know, even if the restaurant says they're going to have straws on hand, it's a way of further pushing, making their disability feel, making them feel that they are further outside the mainstream, that they have to request something that has been provided as a sort of special outlay just for them.
Let me take,
and I think, yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, let me take a caller to this point, and then you'll finish that thought. Nicholas in Clifton, you're on WNYC. Nicholas, thanks for calling.
Hi, just wanted to call and say that this is kind of embarrassing. It's one of those issues where banning one plastic item isn't really doing anything. If you're going to ban plastic in general, that would accomplish something. But this is just kind of a bomb to make people feel better without actually accomplishing anything. And as for the disability thing, it is very discomforting to have to put yourself outside. The line and the wait for things that are just automatically given to other people. I have a machine where I have to carry oxygen with me, and if my cannulas get wet with my nose, it causes a problem. So I can't drink out of any normal cups in public. So I need a straw, and people say, you know, bring your own. But then what do I do with the dirty one? You know, it becomes, the burden is then shifted onto me as a person with a disability.
Yeah. Is there a compromise, like paper straws as opposed to plastic or anything else like that, that you might advocate, Nicholas?
I don't think that there is one, because people with different disabilities, I know friends who have issues with paper straws. They bite right through them. Mm-hmm. Because of the way their jaw works when they try and drink out of a straw. The plastic straw is flexible, so it's not a perfect solution for everybody, and I think that you're not going to find a perfect solution for everybody. I think that you have to really examine the reasons why you're taking something away and look for a solution that's going to help everybody at once, instead of just peeling out, you know, solution after solution after solution. Until you have, like with Starbucks, they have those plastic cups with extra sippy teeth. It's now using more plastic than the straws are. So you made a bigger problem to solve a problem that wasn't there.
Nicholas,
it just tends to snowball.
Thank you so much for chiming in. And Henry Grabar from Slate. Yeah, I read that the new Starbucks lid that's supposed to replace the straw, that's sort of like an adult sippy cup, so to speak, actually uses more plastic than a straw.
Yeah, that's true. And they've said that the difference there is that their new cups can be recycled, whereas the straws cannot be recycled. I think Nicholas is right that, you know, it's a drop in the bucket, right? Like, what percentage of global plastic trash is made up of straws? The answer is a very small percentage. And I think the anti-straw advocates have actually been pretty forthright about this. They say, look, we're not solving climate change. We're not solving ocean pollution by getting Starbucks and the Chicago White Sox to stop using plastic straws. They have been explicit that they consider this a gateway for the movement. And they think that if certain corporations will give up straws and people will reconsider how much they use straws, then maybe plastic bags will be next. And maybe styrofoam containers will come after that. And maybe someone says, well, maybe I shouldn't drive 12 miles every day in my SUV to get to the gym or whatever it is. So, yeah, they've been explicit about that, and I can understand for disability advocates and for people with disabilities to say that this, what is essentially one of the conveniences of daily life that make you feel a part of society and make it easy and fun for you to go out and participate and, you know, go out to a restaurant and not have to worry about whether you're going to be able to hold the cup or not, to say that that is ultimately irrelevant, and you're taking that away and you recognize that, I can understand why they would find that offensive.
We'll continue in a minute with Henry Grabar from Slate as we talk about the new movement to ban plastic straws. And as this comes to New York City Council, he'll describe what's going on in Seattle, which is steps ahead of New York in this respect. And we'll take more of your calls. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC as we talk about the new movement to ban plastic straws. Starbucks is participating, American Airlines is participating, Royal Caribbean Cruises. There's a bill in New York City Council. We're talking about it with Henry Grabar, staff writer for Slate's Money Box. And Slate Seattle is ahead of New York on this. Is there experience with this now from the West Coast that we can learn from?
Well, Seattle's a little ahead, but their ban hasn't yet taken effect. So this is something to look forward to in Seattle, and it'll be really interesting to see how it goes. We know that Seattle's, in addition to straws, Seattle has also banned plastic utensils. So they've really made a big push. And I think one of the tests that we always see with these kind of regulations is, are people, like, ready for this culturally? I think in the case of, for example, one of the big plastic bag bans was China, which put a sort of prohibition on super thin plastic bags about a decade ago. And I think that's been kind of a mixed bag. It's turned out that people weren't really ready to give up plastic bags, and so lots of people are still using them. Businesses, in order to get around the regulation, are just distributing super thick disposable plastic bags, which has obviously just is actually worse than what was happening before. And so I guess when we look at Seattle, the question is, you know, are businesses going to comply? Are consumers going to be upset? Like, and you know, see how that reaction goes. So it'll be an interesting test case.
Andrea in East Brunswick, you're on WNYC. Hi, Andrea.
Hi. I really love this conversation. I had seen that turtle video a couple of years ago and went on Etsy and bought some glass straws. I carry it around in my purse in a toothbrush holder and put it back in so it doesn't get anything in my purse dirty. And it has caused me to examine the single-use plastic use in my life. And I've since made other changes, I think, not using body washes and shampoos and using shampoo bars and soap bars is another great thing people can do. And it does snowball. It does cause you to examine more of your choices from day to day.
Andrea, thank you so much. Jennifer in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Ever since I've heard about this, I thought about how I have really serious food allergies. There's a huge list of foods that I can't eat, but I have just learned to take care of my own needs. I don't leave home without a snack or lunch plus silverware. It's inconvenient, sure. I can't go to a restaurant spontaneously with friends, but I'm not mad at anybody for that. I just take care of my own needs. And I think maybe we should all start thinking in this way. Like I've always got an extra shopping bag that can actually be rolled up and it's really small. And that goes in my bag too, so I don't ever have to take a plastic bag anywhere. It's just about planning ahead and making that the habit instead of having the thing that can't be recycled or is bad for the environment. That instead of that being the habit, we can just create other habits.
So you're a person with a disability that requires you to use a straw, but you're for the ban?
No, I'm not. I don't have to use a straw. I'm saying that my issue is around severe food allergies.
Got it.
And I can't go to restaurants spontaneously. I can't do any of that, but that's okay. I take care of my own needs.
And it's a small enough thing to ask of people.
Yeah, and I think the previous caller, I think she was saying that, yeah, she just throws a straw into her bag. I mean, it's not a big deal. And there's special brushes that you can use to clean them out. I don't think this is really that big a deal.
Thank you very much. Then again, there's Donna in Beacon, who I think is going to have a different perspective. Hi, Donna, you're on WNYC.
Hi, Brian. I'm a person with a disability. I actually missed the last comment because I was holding, but I believe that your guest has not really grasped the implications for people with disabilities, and I'm afraid you may not have either. It's not just a matter of having to feel different or ask for something special. I believe the data shows that in one of the cities where it has been tried, I think Seattle, restaurants actually did not have straws on hand for people with disabilities to use, even when they were required to do so. So it means if such a ban goes through New York City, if I go to a restaurant, I won't be able to drink. I literally will not be able to drink, you know, even if it's hot outside and I need to drink.
What do you say to the last caller who is arguing that people could be responsible for themselves on something like this, like she has to do with cutlery, because of food allergies, and you and others in your situation could be expected to carry your own straws rather than continue to burden the environment in this way?
Well, to be honest with you, I often have carried my own straws, but if plastic straws are banned in general, they'll be harder and harder to find. And I have tried paper straws and metal straws, and they don't work for me. I need straws with hot beverages as well. And paper straws dissolve in them, and metal straws communicate heat too strongly. And I just feel that for the minor environmental gain, making all people with all sorts of disabilities and illnesses, by the way, unable to drink liquids in public, that's too great a burden for the non-disabled community to impose on disabled people. It's really quite upsetting.
Donna, thank you very much. And John in Bradley Beach, we've got about 20 seconds for you. John, hi. Oh, if I can click his line on. Leora, could you put on line one? John in Bradley Beach, can we get his line on? I don't know, we're having a little difficulty with our phone line all of a sudden, but we only have 30 seconds left in the show. So Henry Grabar from Slate's Money Box, give us a last thought on where this conversation goes. We hear that there's some passion on both sides.
Yeah, and it's all so new. I mean, I was mistaken, actually, about Seattle. Their ban did take effect at the beginning of this month. So so I think we're gonna see what happens. I think there's obviously going to be, with any new policy, the rollout's going to be a little convoluted. But as things shake out here, we're going to see, are these businesses providing alternatives for people with disabilities? How upset are consumers that they can no longer have straws? Maybe the whole thing goes over without a hitch and serves as an inspiration for a city like New York. I don't know.
We'll Henry, see. Thanks so much for joining us, and I know it was on short notice. I really appreciate it. Mayor de Blasio has taken the anti-straw position on this show. We will follow the issue as it moves locally through New York City Council.